Boy, tonight, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. We'll be reading the last words and the last things that Joshua had to say to Israel. And he has been a great leader, used of the Lord very much as the people of Israel got into the promised land. God chose Joshua to be their leader and their fighter, though that one that led many of the battles. And Joshua had determined that he was going to serve the Lord no matter what. And this morning, as Brother Walter was ending up his message, he was talking a little bit about Joshua carrying the dream. That dream that Joseph had, he said, when you leave Egypt. And I had never thought about what some of the things he said this morning, but Joseph was a prophet in that respect. He said, you will leave the land of Egypt. And he said, when you leave, you carry my bones with you. And so Brother Stevens this morning sort of built that last point on carrying the dream that we have, and compared that to carrying the bones out of Egypt. And I began to think some things about Joshua, the great leader that he was in Israel. Joshua's task, I would think, would have been very, very difficult. You see, for Moses had been the spokesman for Israel for a number of years. They were 40 years in the wilderness, and Moses was the leader as they traveled through the wilderness. But then if you read on ahead of that, you find that Moses was very instrumental in a lot of the activities that were taking place in Egypt. So for over 40, 50 years, Moses was that man that Israel looked unto. He was trusted. He was a man of God. He was we call him a patriarch. He was a great man that believed in the Lord. And then he dies. And in Joshua chapter number 1, the Lord says in verse number 1 of chapter 1, says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua. So here's the succession. Moses is gone, and we read about that in the last chapter of Deuteronomy. Moses has died. He's not permitted to go into the promised land because of his rebellion and his unbelief, and because of smiting the rock when he was told to speak unto it. And he doesn't get to place his feet upon upon the land that was the land of promise. The Lord let him look at it. The Lord took him up to a high place, and he could look over, and he could see that land that flowed with milk and honey, that land that he had been struggling and working and trying to lead the people of Israel too for a number of years, those 40 years as they wandered. Now he looks at that, but he's not permitted to go into it. And the Bible says that the Lord buried Moses' body, and no one knew where it was, but he got to see the land of promise. Well, he's gone now, and Israel has no leader, and the Lord comes to Joshua. The scripture says that he came unto him there in verse 1, and he spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I will give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I have said unto Moses. In verse number 5, there in the middle of the verse, the Lord says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And he tells him again in verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. And knowing the history of Israel, God knew that Joshua would have to be strong. He knew that he would have some of the same problems that Moses had with the rebellious people. And he says, but you're the man, You're the one that I want to lead. And you go over Jordan, you go into the promised land. And God says, every place your foot and the sole of your foot steps upon, that land have I given to you. And by the way, that land is still the land of Israel. They still own that. God has given them a charter deed to that. A lot of people have overflowed that. A lot of people have overthrown Israel, but Israel is back in their land, and that will be their land for the rest of the time. And Joshua is given the task to conquer the enemies of that land. He had the Amorites, the Moabites, he had all the different groups that were there, and God says, I'll give you that land. And Joshua is that fighting general that God used to go into the land and go into the place and conquer those different tribes so that Israel might have a place that would be theirs that God had given them. Joshua was very faithful in that. You find that he goes in the first place they find. The first battle they have is in Jericho. And then the next battle is Ai. Jericho was pretty successful. Ai was not so successful because of rebellion of some of the people. But Joshua is the leader, and he leads them all through these next years. And when you come to the last two chapters of the book of Joshua, is where we want to look tonight. We see Joshua's message to them, which we would consider his farewell message or his last message to them as their leader. They have conquered the enemy. They have occupied the land. And Joshua recalls and revisits some of the things that has happened. And then going along with what was said this morning, I believe he puts upon the shoulders of the people of Israel that they are to continue to carry that dream. They're to continue to carry on with the things that was started by Moses and also by Joshua. But in chapter number 23, we're just going to go down here through, I think there's four or five points tonight in these last two chapters. And we'll find Joshua's words to the people of Israel. And again, he was as respected as Moses. He had to, I'm sure, win that respect. He was there, and God had put the mantle upon him to be leader. And he's led them these many years. In verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." So it gives us a little time frame here. They've been in the land. They've conquered the land. And the scripture says here they have a long time of that God had given them rest. The battles had been fought. The battles had been won. Some won, some lost. But Israel had received the land, and they'd overcome those different ones. Now Joshua is waxed old and stricken in age. Verse 2. "And Joshua called for all of Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers. And he said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you." He says, "For the Lord your God, it is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, and from Jordan and all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward," which that would be what we know of as the Mediterranean. And he says, "And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you." In these first four or five verses, Joshua calls the heads of all the tribes. Of course, we know there's 12 tribes of Israel. They had their heads of the tribes. They had their elders. They had their own group of people. And they really have not yet formed into what we would call a governing nation. They had their 12 different groups. And Joshua calls all of them together, and he reminds them what God has done for them. It's always good for us to be reminded of what the Lord has done for us. When we look back in time, we look back in our personal histories, we find the Lord has been good to us like he was good to Israel. God has blessed us with a number of things, and God has taken our families, and God has used different means and different ways to give us special things that maybe nobody else knows about, but we know that the Lord has blessed us. And Joshua here now, he's that departing captain. He's the one that has been leading them all these years. He counsels the people that it may have been a individual that was leading them, but it was God that had given them the victory. It was God that had rewarded them, and they were to receive and they were to remember what they have seen. He tells them here, he says, he calls for them, he says, "And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you." It is God that has done these things to these nations. God defeated those nations. God took many of them completely out of the way and used Joshua and the armies of Israel to destroy and to conquer. That was the will of God for Israel. And Joshua reminds the people here, then as he is getting ready to die, he says, just remember your past. Remember what the Lord has done for you and how that God has given these victories. He says, not only that, he says, "Is the Lord your God? He is he that hath fought for you." I'll tell you what, you don't want the Lord fighting against you, that's for sure. And you don't want the Lord having issue against you. And Israel had the captain, which was Joshua, but they had a real captain who was the God of heaven. And he directed the ways and the things that would take place. And Joshua reminds them that they better remember. That's why it's always good to know a little bit about history. We live in a society that people don't want to know about history. And what they learn about history, they don't like, so they want to change it. But history is there for a reason, for a purpose. It's good for us to know what happened in the past so we don't make the same mistakes in the present and also in the future. And so he tells them, says, you remember your history. You remember what the Lord hath done, how that he hath fought your battle, and you have seen that with your own eyes. Joshua wasn't talking to someone and giving them a history lesson. Joshua is talking to someone that has lived that history. Joshua is talking to that group of people that has gone through the battles and they've gone through the struggles, and he tells them to remember that it is God that has fought for you. Joshua is leaving. He's going off the scene. He's going to die. He's old, waxing in age, and he's gonna leave, but he wanted them to understand that God was always the same. Doesn't matter who the leader is. Doesn't matter if it's Moses or Joshua or whoever it might have been. It is God that does the battle. It's God that gives the victory. And the leader may leave. The physical human leader may not be there, but it's God in heaven that has fought your battles. Praise the Lord tonight. It is the Lord that fights our battles. It is he that gives us time and time again the victory that we must have. The Lord God had fought for them, and the Bible says, just as he promised. You can rest assured on the promises of the Lord. Sometimes we sing that song, "Standing on the Promises, Standing on the Promises, I Shall Not Fail." One of those verses say, "I shall not fall." And those things are for us, and the promises of God are given to you and I as a believer so that we can stand and not fail. So that we can stand upright and not fall and not falter at the task that God has given to us. So Joshua took up that vision or that dream, and he carried it on in his life, and now he's talking at the end of his life and telling the people, just simply remember. How many of us tonight could take just a moment and remember something special that the Lord did for me? something special that the Lord did for you, something special that God did for your family, or maybe you personally, or maybe your parents, or something that we know about that God fought our battles, that God helped us immensely in the ways of life. And so Joshua is reminding these heads of state here, these heads of tribe, he said, you better remember it is God that's fought your battle. It's not you that's done it. It's not you that is the fighter. It's not you that is the victor. You are just a recipient of God's blessings and God's mercy and God's grace. So he reminds Israel of what God had done. That's a pretty good place to start. And when he's getting ready to give them his last words, and these are his last words to them, he tells them to go back now and remember, and just to understand it is the Lord that fought the battle, and it is the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Now in verse number 6 through 11, we find that Joshua admonishes Israel to cling unto the Lord, stay close to the Lord. Notice verse number 6. Be thou therefore very courageous. Well, those are words that the Lord gave to Joshua a long time ago. Be strong and courageous. We read that in chapter number 1 a moment ago. And so he's taking those same words that God gave him, and he's giving those words to the heads of the tribes and the elders of Israel. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that you may that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God he hath frightened for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Pretty wise words that here Joshua is giving unto the heads of the tribes of Israel. He says here, be obedient to the word of God. Be obedient to the word that we know, the law of Moses. Now, what they had today, in their day, they didn't have the scripture like we have. Well, most of it hadn't been written. What did they have? They had the books of Moses. They had the law of Moses. They had those books that are attributed to Moses in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And he says, you take that word. And by the way, that's all the word they needed at that time. There's enough in those five books that they knew where they came from. They knew there was a God in heaven. They knew he was their deliverer. They had faith in God. They trusted the Lord. And you come to Hebrews chapter 11, they had probably more faith than we have, moving on things that they didn't see and didn't know, but they accepted it as true. And so Joshua tells them here in verse number 6, he says, you be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left. He said, just stay with the book. That's good instruction even tonight. Stay with the word of God. Stay with the truth of God's word. Stay with the message that we have. Stay with the message that we know is delivered from the Lord. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost of God. We have down through history, we have the translations, we have the keepings, we have the manuscripts, we have all those things, and now we have our Bible before us tonight. And as Joshua told the people of Israel, we can say to one another, keep the word of God. Be mindful of God's word and understand and to be obedient to the word. Be ye very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book. Don't turn to the right hand, don't turn to the left. Just stay straight with the Lord and follow after him. Paul commends the church in the New Testament, commends the church to do the same thing, to preach the word. And he tells Timothy to preach that message and that word that is given to us, to keep it and to do those things. Here we find that Joshua admonishes them to cleave unto the Lord. That means to cling unto God. That means to get a hold of the Lord and don't let go. That means to have a grip on God and to know that wherever he takes you is well and good. Take heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. And so here the instruction is, not only do we remember, but we've got to stay close to God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The principle here is, that principle is here in these verses because he says what God did in the past, he can do right now. He'll take care of you now. Just cleave unto him. Follow the word of God. Be courageous and strong and cleave unto him. He says here in these verses, in verse number 8, he says, cleave unto the Lord. Verse 9, he says, the Lord hath driven out great nations, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand. Why? Because they were cleaving unto God. They were hanging on to the Lord. He says in verse number 11, take good heed therefore to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Love him. Have fellowship with him. Have blessings flowing to and from. And so Joshua reminds them, this is what God's done. Joshua now admonishes them, this is what you to do. God has done his part. God has driven the nations out. You've not been the one able to do that. God did that for you. Great nations and strong nations. And so therefore, cleave unto the Lord. Love the Lord your God. And follow him and stay obedient to the word of the Lord. What great words Joshua left his people. This may be an Old Testament passage, but I'll tell you what, it fits New Testament people. That we'd remember what God's done for us. We'd cleave unto him. We're to follow him. We're to be obedient unto the word of the Lord. Now in verse number 12 through 16, we're just going down through here verse by verse. In verse number 12 through 16, Joshua gives them a warning. Look at verse number 12. If ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty. Joshua says, you know for sure, know for a certainty, that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Joshua said, I'm leaving today. So I'm going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and are not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come unto you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he hath destroyed you from the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have trespassed or transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Here Joshua warns them to stay true unto their God. And if they would have followed his lead and followed his words here, they would have missed a whole lot of problems in their history. So Joshua warns Israel, do not go back. We would call it backslide. Don't go back from where you are. Don't go back to the other countries and the other nations. And Joshua, two or three times here, he makes reference that there are other nations even mingled with them here at this time. But he warns them, don't marry, intermarry with them, stay separate. He says, don't bow to their gods, don't worship their gods, because if you do, it's going to be a snare. It's going to be a trap. He tells them, here's going to be a struggle because you leave your God. And so Joshua warns Israel of backsliding. Else, even if you anywise go back, what was going back, it was going back on the Lord and going back and departing and leaving their separation. If you ever wanted to see a separated people, God had a separated people by the name of the Jew, Israel. God said, don't intermarry, don't intermingle. He says, you stay separate from those, because if you don't, they're going to be a snare unto you. They're going to be trouble unto you. Their gods will become your gods instead of your God becoming their God. You know, that principle is still true today. That principle is still right today. Believers and unbelievers ought to not mix in a lot, most anything that you can think of, because the influence and the world vision and the view and the beliefs and the things that we do are totally opposite of each other. Paul asked the question, what does righteousness have to do with Belial or unrighteousness? Is there any concord or any agreement between good and evil and right and wrong? And he comes to the conclusion that there is not. And so that's the New Testament telling us the same thing that Joshua told Israel. He tells them here, he said, if you do that, it shall come to pass that you're going to lose the good land. Two or three times here, Joshua talks about the good land that God had given unto them. He says, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will not drive out any of these nations. Why? Because you've intermingled. Because you're not the nation that you once were. Because you've become weak and you've been destroyed by false teaching and false doctrine. They're going to be a snare to you. They're going to be a scourge to you, verse number 13. They're going to be a trap to you. They're going to be a thorn in your eye, and you're going to perish. You're going to be removed off of the good land. When you read the history of Israel, Israel's history is always in connection with their land. You cannot separate Jew from Israel land. You cannot separate a Jewish nation from the land of Israel. God gave it to them. And when God's people are in the land of Israel, God blesses. When they're out of the land of Israel, God withdraws his blessing from them, and they're scattered as they have been all these many centuries. Back in 1948, they came together once again as a nation because of the work of the United States, and primarily because of Great Britain. They have a land that's called the land of Israel. You ought to read that history, how it all took place and all the things that were working together for that to happen. The Holocaust is over and the struggles are over and the war is over, and now they have a land. And they've not given up that land. They've gained more land since then. And God's time clock is always in connection with Israel in the land. And so Joshua understood, said, if you're gonna intermingle with all these other groups and all these other nations that's left around you, he said, you're gonna lose your land. Well, guess what happened? They lost their land. More times than one, they lost the good land that God gave them simply because they did not follow the instruction of their leader, Joshua. And so today we have the same message given to us. We ought to intermingle. We're not to get involved in the world. We're not to be worldly people. We're to be a separate people. The Lord says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate," saith the Lord. He said, "Don't touch the unclean. Don't touch those things that are not holy. Leave those alone." So that same principle that God gave to Israel, He gives to you and I as believers. Now in chapter number 24, the first few verses there are some of the restatements, some of the things. But if you come down to verse number 14 of Joshua chapter 24, he gives us here their responsibility. Joshua tells them and reminds Israel that you have a responsibility. God's been so good to you, you are responsible to the Lord. Same thing goes for us tonight. Verse number 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord." Joshua reminds them, says, our fathers have served false gods before. Even before the flood, on the other side of the flood, Joshua says, our ancestors worshipped other gods. Put those away. He says, while we were in Egypt, many of those in Egypt, they served and worshipped the gods of Egypt. Put those away and serve you the Lord. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Now you have to remember now, these are the last words of Joshua. Sometimes we take things out of context and we don't know exactly when things are said. Well, Joshua, he says, if that seems evil to you, choose you this day whom you will serve. How many times I've heard messages and preachers preach on that text. He says, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's Joshua's last words to Israel. He says, far as my house is concerned, we're serving God. Joshua wasn't on a battlefield. Joshua wasn't a young man when he said that. Joshua was dying. He said, today's my last day. He said, but for me and my house, we're going to serve God. He reminds Israel of their responsibility. He reminds them that they have a wondrous background, but now they have a future. If they're not careful, they may lose that future. And he said, but we're going to serve the Lord. Verse number 16. And all the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. God forbid that we would do that. Here's the elders of Israel answering back Joshua. Joshua said, don't take those other gods. You have a responsibility. Now therefore fear the Lord, he says. There's a devotion. Fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity. That's a service of love unto the Lord. He says, put away false gods. That's a separation from ungodliness. Serve ye the Lord. That's our object of worship. And so Joshua is giving them, he said, you can do what you want to do. He said, but my house is going to serve God. And Joshua had served the Lord all of his life. And he's coming down to the end of his life. He says, I'm still serving God till my last breath. What a wonderful message Joshua leaves to the people of Israel. Now verse number 16, verse number 19, we'll close. These words that Joshua gives to them, he reminds them of their dependence. The responsibility and the dependence, they have to be reminded. You know, and again, referring back to this morning's message, he is really telling them to continue to carry that dream. I appreciate the message this morning. That was a great message, and I thought about it this afternoon as I read these things. Joshua is telling now Israel, he said, you go ahead and carry the message, carry the dream all the way through. Be dependent upon the Lord. Verse number 16. The people answered, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Verse number 19. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Verse number 20. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. Here is their warning, their reminder, you depend upon God, because you only have blessings as we are obedient unto the Lord. You and I tonight, we can remember multiple blessings, but those things are just memories. And God can turn and do us harm if we don't follow and cleave unto him. May God help us tonight to take the words of Joshua. Joshua's final charge to Israel, cast them upon the mercies of the Lord. He says, verse number 19 is a strange verse. Ye cannot serve the Lord. He'd been telling the whole chapter to serve the Lord. But then he brings them to reality. You can't really do it on your own. You can't really serve the Lord because he's holy. What are we? We're not holy. He is jealous. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sin. But if you forsake the Lord, he'll consume you, and after he's done you good, he'll destroy you. May God help us to realize Joshua's farewell message was a message that you can only do what we do by the grace of the Lord. Nothing but grace will do for either the sinner or the saint. Grace will save the sinner. Thank God for that. And grace will lead us home as the saint, the children of God. It is by grace that we're saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. If we could say, look what little thing I did. I had this little portion to my salvation. I did this. The Lord knows man. He knows who we are. He knows our frame. And so he put in the word of God, for by grace are you saved, not of works, lest you would boast. So Joshua gives his last message to them, and he really just tells them to carry the dream. Carry the torch, carry the message, be faithful to the Lord, cleave unto him, remember him, stay away from these nations that are ungodly, stay away from their gods, stay away from their ways, stay away from their way of life, just stay separate from them. And if you do that, God will bless you. But if you don't do that, God will do you hurt even after he's done you good. May God help us tonight to have the blessings of the Lord upon our lives. Let's stand together tonight.